everyone to a very special episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will. Oh, not again.
That's all needs to be said. That's all needs to be said.
I didn't even know what that said.
Said, spoon.
Oh.
Which I strongly agree with.
That was the tick.
You figured that now?
I couldn't hear it. It was... Shut up, Will. Also, of course, Tellius Tyler.
What up?
Ceiling. We've been over this.
We have been over this.
And as I mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, it's very special. Oh, wait a minute. Do you hear that? Challenger approaching! That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We have a brand new guest host here on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very proud to introduce to you, Kremlin Kevin.
What up? I'm here.
Ceiling. We just answered that. Seriously.
Welcome aboard, sir.
This is why I'm the host. No, but seriously, Kevin is actually a good friend of mine. He's had me on his podcast a few times. We talked about comics and other things. And so we actually we're talking, me, Tyler, and Kevin got talking on the upcoming Splatfest, which is going to be our main event tonight. And Kevin and Tyler just, like, got into it. So I'm just like, do you want to just, like, hop on the podcast and have it out? And he goes, yeah! So I'm like, okay. So here we are. You can speak now, Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about Nintendo and other things and then tear anybody apart in a Splatfest argument.
Oh, boy.
As I will do in the arena during Splatfest.
Ooh, such confidence. We like that here on NEP.
Let's introduce Kevin to our audience a little bit here. Let's ask a quick couple questions here. Before we got on, you said you're a big War fan. What is your favorite N64 game?
Oh, man, it's got to be Super Smash Brothers. I mean, I love so many games. There are some awesome mainstream ones, like Star Fox 64 is a classic. Super Mario 64 was a great one. But the Mario Kart, Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo was a great game. But 64 really launched it in popularity. It's a classic.
Tyler.
And there are a bunch of minor games too that people overlooked. NFL Blitz and Wayne Gretzky's 3D Hockey are still some of the best sports games.
I loved Blitz. Me and my buddy Tyler played it all the time.
And Alex would be thrilled to hear the Blitz thing too.
Yeah.
And there are some other classics that never really took off just because I don't know why. Vigilante 8 was a great one. Turok was another great one for the 64. GoldenEye, man, there's so many good ones.
Hold on. GoldenEye is eternal.
It's eternal.
GoldenEye is eternal.
I don't know if you guys have followed this on YouTube, but like a bunch of like the big gaming YouTubers, like Pro Jared and some Do You Know Gaming guys and The Completionist, they're all doing a N64 panel of competing with or picking the best N64 games. They had a nice little bracket filled out, and I personally have pretty much disagreed with every decision that they've come to. But they did Paper Mario versus GoldenEye, which
Paper
is
Mario.
The better game.
Paper Mario.
What? No, GoldenEye is by far the better game.
Paper Mario, for sure.
Hi-oh! Me and Tyler are back at it again. Alright, let's keep going. You mentioned also to us that you actually didn't get a Nintendo console after the 64 until the Switch. So what are your favorite Switch games that you have?
Man, my thing about games these days is I get like obsessed with one and play it almost exclusively. I've got so many hours into Breath of the Wild and Splatoon 2. I mean, they're both great games. The Mario Rabbids game is a ton of fun.
I'm loving
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It's so good. And I've got some indie games too. I've got one called Limbo that I'm playing right now. It's awesome. It gets a lot harder than you'd think from the early stages, but man, it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah, I've heard great things about Limbo. That came out a long time ago on the other consoles. I wanted to get it on Switch, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, Limbo was one of those eternal indie games.
Yeah, so, I saw it on sale for $10 and picked it up, and man, I did not regret it.
No.
Nice,
Most people who got it didn't. So now you know a little more about Kevin, so let's get started all with what have you been playing? I am a terrible person. I had a very stressful week, and so no, it's true. It's true. Don't laugh at me, Will. I really did. And then so basically I've only been playing Heroes. So and of course we had the we'll talk about this a little later, but we had the new Choose Your Legends banner, which gave us new versions of Celica, Veronica, Ephraim, and Hector. And of course, we've all been, I can't speak for Kevin, but we've all been trying to summon them. And some of us have had better luck than others. I had, I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen, like 320 orbs. And the moment that banner came out, the morning I woke up, because I didn't stay up till 2, because I'm not a, never mind. I'm not Tyler.
what?
You used to stay up at 2 o'clock all the time, man.
I still do.
You do.
Actually 3 o'clock our time.
But... That's true. But anyway, so I woke up in the morning. I was like, first thing I did was I just started cranking out orbs. I was just like, you know, summoning, trying to get these legends. And by the time I went from like 320 orbs to 11, I had 0 legends. Now, to be fair, there is a reason for this. It's because I kept getting other 5-star characters. I got the original Celica, not the Choose Your Legend Celica, which reset me. Then I got the Zelgius, which I never had before, to be fair, but I didn't want him. I wanted Celica from Red. And then I got Nefany, who I've had like 5 of, and it's like, it's screwing with me. And then finally, I got, today, because of the pop quiz bonus we got, I got Veronica, so I at least have 2 of the 4 Legends characters, and I can be content with that.
It's really kind of like something we're going to these, especially when that Choose the Legends video that came out like pretty much out of nowhere for the 8-minute presentation. They showed it off like, oh boy, these units are powerful, and yeah, I faced it off against, I believe, a Veronica, and Veronica hurts. She hurts.
Yeah, she's OP.
Yeah,
she's very, very strong. When I was trying to summon, I summoned Libra, who's got the motor to 4-star from the last banner.
Good to know.
And his voice is Honnit from Octopath Traveler. And I was sitting there for like 20 minutes trying to figure out.
Seriously?
I kept playing his voice quotes over and and over. And I couldn't place it. And I was like, I just played a game and I know. And then I looked right next to my bed where my stacks or Switch games was, and Octopath Traveler was on the top. And I was like, oh my gosh, if I just looked over 20 minutes ago, I would have got it right away. But yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it's just fun little trivia.
I like that.
And again, also Titania.
Oh, yeah, I believe that. It just goes to show they have a really good, you know, casting crew, you know, with this game. I mean, like Ray Chase has done like, what, 5 characters at least?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
Okay, so we're on the subject of Octopath Traveler. So I downloaded the demo, and I played for 3 hours. I unlocked, like, 3 of the characters.
Uh-huh.
Is this game super easy, or is it just me? Like, I'm wandering through the wilderness trying to get to the thing, and I'm just... All I have to do to beat all the enemies is just keep hitting A over and over. It's not even hard.
I agree with you. I think it's easy.
Oh, come on.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, it is. Heck yeah.
No,
gets more difficult.
Yes.
It depends on how you play it. The right answer. Because if you have 8 characters and you only use, you have to have obviously the character in your party whose story that you're doing. So if you have like your set team and you just stick with them and then sub out one person to do their story, it will be easy because you'll be super over leveled. And if you like explore every nook and cranny, again, you'll be pretty over leveled. But you could definitely like do like a Pokemon Nuzlocke type thing and make it more challenging for yourself by kind of like going after chapters early, in which case, yeah, then it'll be pretty hard.
Okay, yeah, because I started out with the, I can't remember her name, the hunter girl who has...
Yeah,
Honnit.
Yeah, and the story, the writing is really good because I went through and I also got the thief and the healer guy. I can't remember any of their names.
Ophelia.
Yeah. That's a healer guy.
Yeah, healer guy.
Alpha.
Goddess. Goddess. Oh, girl. Wrong gender.
Oh, is it a girl?
Will is confused, and our audience has got to be confused.
Yeah. he's talking about Alphen, yeah. The apothecary.
Yes. There you go. Yeah. And yeah, I've unlocked them, and like I did have a trouble fighting the boss, the Hanan's boss, but then after that, like, I got the thief, I fought his boss with no problem. I got the apothecary, I fought his boss with no problem. It was, I don't know, it just seemed easy, so I just opted not to buy the game.
You should get the game.
We all
recommend it. I gave it a really good review personally, and trust me, it does get harder. It's just, think about it like this, you know, because of how they're doing the whole 8 characters thing, they want to make sure you get the characters in a decent amount of time so that you can then go off and do what you want. So the early levels are easy enough, especially once you have, you know, 2, 3, 4 characters, but once you get into the more diverse enemies, which you will have to fight, it will get harder.
There are a couple of bosses that are pretty tough, I would say. Like, Therion's Chapter 3 boss.
The bosses were good fights.
Chapter 4.
The bosses were good fights, but it just seemed like you had to go through so many. Like, every five steps you take, you have to go through some measly enemy.
Were you running the whole time?
Probably.
Okay, because this game actually really doesn't have a good RNG, right? As long as you don't run, then it's not like, you know, super Pokemon frequent, so.
Okay, that could have been part of my problem, is because I was trying to run the whole thing because I only had 3 hours
of wait time. So that's why
I was trying to get through it.
But I seriously recommend it, and shameless plug, I recommend you read my Octopathic Traveler Beginner's Guide.
All right.
So there you go. But yeah, we highly recommend the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, continue your segment.
So we know what Kevin's been playing.
So yeah, just briefly on my side, like, I've been more or less been on a bit of a fighting game binge, honestly. I've been just been more or less going back into Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. That game is like, it's got its hooks on me. I don't know. Like, I just basically played during workout lunch period, and I don't know, it's just very fun. Again, I can't help myself. Then also Babs playing Swiss Platinum 2, and then also with Fire Emblem Heroes. I personally got an Ephraim so far, and he was my like first 100 orbs. Yeah, I only have like about like 120 orbs during the run. I even did a bit of a blood sacrifice during that 20 orb, $10 discount promotional period. So yeah, but yeah, got Ephraim. I'm just basically trying to go for the red and colorless, which curse you too for having Veronica, because I've heard Veronica is pretty damn decent. So over to that, and I'm just based. And also, just recently, I mean, outside the Nintendo sphere, I actually have bought Shenmue 1 and 2 for PS4. And for me, I'm just really can't wait to go and try out the game that influenced it, Yakuza, of the Yakuza series, the spiritual predecessor of it. So overall, I pretty much got my weekends full, and of course, I still got to go Octopath Travel. I still got to be Breath of the Wild. I have so much games in my backlog.
Well, you have to be Breath of the Wild, because it's only been over a year and a half! No, seriously, like, Kevin, that's like one of our running jokes here, is that I'm usually the guy, with a few exceptions, obviously, who reviews a lot of the Switch games here on the Outer Haven. So I naturally focus my time to beating the games as quickly as possible. You know, so for example, Breath of the Wild took me 2 weeks. I did 2 weeks for Xenoblade. I did Splatoon in a week because I got a review code and everything. But then, like, these two took, like, either take their time or take forever. Like, Tyler just recently finally beat Breath of the Wild, and Will is still going. So, it's like, and neither of them have beaten Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Now, okay, I'll admit to being kind of in their camp. I probably spent a month on Breath of the Wild the first time, and I still haven't gone through Ganon in Master Mode yet because I want to beat the Master Trials first. And man, it is impossible to beat the Trials of the Sword in Master Mode. And then Splatoon 2, I actually didn't even try the Hero Mode until like 2 weeks ago, when I actually I had a disconnect, and so it wouldn't let me play online for 5 minutes. And so I was like, all right, I'll try Hero Mode, and I started from there. So I had Splatoon for like 5 months almost before I even tried the single player mode.
Kevin is my you play the same way I do. I played Breath of the Wild for a month, and I played it for like 100 hours, like, and I just never finished Ganon. Like, I played most of the game, but I didn't finish it. And then I came back to it and I finished I did the same thing with the Trials of the Sword. I didn't want to beat the game until I did the Trials of the Sword and now the Champion's Ballad. So I did both of those, and then I finally beat the game. And then Splatoon 2, I touched the single player like maybe like 2 months after the game came out, and I've done like 2 levels and that's it. I've just never gone back to it because the multiplayer is right there, and that's so much fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, my biggest reason for beating Hero Mode on Splatoon 2 was that I think the Splat dualies are super ugly, so I wanted to unlock the Hero dualies because they're the same weapon, but they don't look ugly.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. The Squelcher, I like the dually Squelchers a lot.
They're ugly. Oh my gosh,
they're pretty dope.
The dually Squelchers are definitely my main, although I've been messing around with a lot of other weapons and getting pretty good with them, so.
God, I can't. Hopefully we encounter you on the Splatfest terrain.
Are you guys all Team Spoon? Because otherwise I'll play pairs with you.
Spoon!
I think we are all Team Spoon, though.
Oh, no!
Oh, yes! This is going to be a very fun main event, but that's for another, that's another segment. So, right. Tyler, what about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I have been playing Heroes with the Legendary Heroes event. I have Veronica checked off and Ephraim checked off, and I still
curse
have my
you.
Free summon waiting. So I'm either I wanted to take Celica with that because I love her art, so I wanted to take her, but I'm going to wait to see who, whichever one I pull first, her or Hector, and then I'll take the other one with the free summon so I can start saving orbs again. But most importantly, I have been playing Xenoblade Chronicles 2.
Nice.
A decent amount. I really like it. I'm totally hooked on it right now. I 100% agree with what Todd said about it starting kind of slow and then picking up. So I just rescued Nia from the guy, the weird dude who talks kind of strange.
That doesn't help.
He got like purple hair or like pinkish hair, and he hides behind his blade. And then the commander from the other, I forget where she's from, but she's a commander. She has the blue blade. The pretty blue blade will, I'm sure that might help you. She has long blue hair. She shoots flames. She's like a main
character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her. I know who you're talking about. It's been a while. I don't remember the names, but go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm there. But I understand how combat works now. Combat was just like the reason why I disengaged after the first 4 hours I played it. It was because I did not like the combat. I felt like it was really boring and bland. I didn't understand how blade combos worked. It was a whole mess. But I figured it out. And good. I really, really like it. It's a ton of fun. So that's a high recommend. I want to beat it before the Torna DLC comes out. And also, I just need to throw in there that the problem with being me and like getting addicted to a certain game and just playing that game all the time and forgetting that new games come out is the inevitable spoilers on Twitter. So like Mithra and Pyra, like I assume that they're like Mithra's contained in her somehow, because on Twitter Nintendo tweets and she's her own person this time. So I was like, and they're like, Pyra, she has this strange power in her in the dialogue. So you sort of start to pick up clues on how the plot's gonna go.
I will say, based on that, you haven't figured it out yet.
Okay, good.
And they didn't spoil it, but they're not wrong, and yet they're not entirely right. All will be explained.
Okay. So. Well, I'm eager to see how that works out.
Here, I'll put it to you this way: it is not split personality disorder.
No, see, I kind of felt like that's what it was.
No, it was not.
There's a history.
Gotcha.
And I can't wait for Torna the Golden Country either. And it's only a month away, so. There you go.
Rex is such a nice guy too, but he's also like almost too nice. Like the general lady with the cool blue blade that shoots flames said,
Bridget.
Yes,
right.
Bridget. Thank you. Said, like Pyra destroyed five or like three continents, and Pyra was like, yeah, I kind of did. And Rex just didn't care. He was just like, I'm defending her.
Yeah, he's a stereotypical hero. You know, he's like Ike. You know, he's pure to a fault, loyal to a fault, and he doesn't care about the past as long as your future doesn't dictate it. And
it reminds me of Alphen in Octopath in a way. Yeah.
There you go. That's true too. So, yeah, but I'm glad you're finally getting into it, and I trust me, once you get to the end, dear gosh, Nevin. Oh, boy. Yeah. So, Kevin, did you play anything else this week? I mean, you talked about it a little bit, but what have you been playing?
This week, actually, I love the week before a Splatfest because I can load up on what do you call them when
snails?
You no not, well that's for during Splatfest, but the you can wash out the boosts on the ability chunks. You can wash out ability chunks on the shirt.
The Splatfest tees.
So I've been loading up on those. I'm trying to get better
ability chunks.
Yeah. So I've been trying to load up on those. So I probably put a lot of hours into Splatoon 2 this week.
Kev, quick question. Are you an X rank?
Only in Splat Zones. I'm S plus in everything else, but I'm almost there in Tower Control. I'm at 9.
Wow.
And then I'm in 5 in Clam Blitz and Rainmaker.
Wow. I'm jealous because like literally that rank X people always have that Wakanda Forever gesture, I swear.
Oh man, it's so fun. It's like the best reason to be in rank X, because other than that, rank X is just chaos. It's so hard. Like the difference between S plus 9 and rank X is night and day. It's so hard.
I think I might join Team Forks. Something's telling me that you know, if I want to win.
Oh, shut up, Tyler.
Tyler,
if you join
the
help
dark
me,
side.
We have Forks. Whatever. We're gonna give Tyler 30 minutes to come back to his senses. So, it's been a very interesting couple of weeks on the Nintendo side of things, and this week has been no different because of Gamescom and a lot of other big news. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe, and we're gonna start it off with, of course, one of the biggest pieces of news. We have the NPD results for July, and it was all Nintendo, like, pretty much. Like, if you recall, the last quarter results came out recently. That covered April, May, and June. And while Nintendo did okay, they didn't really do well. You know, they had games that sold millions, like Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze, and Mario Tennis Aces, but it just wasn't what we would expect from the Switch, given all that it's done in 2017. But then July, there was like, okay, we're going to like actually pour it on now. So between Octopath Traveler, Mario Tennis Aces, Crash Bandicoot, and a lot of other things, apparently the Switch sold a bunch of consoles. So I'm going to guess they're over 20 million, though, over the Nintendo hasn't technically officially declared that yet. But they were the number one console in both units and dollars sold, because they apparently keep track of both. Okay, fine. You dang stats people! This isn't baseball! No, I'm fine. You baseball people are good people. Kind of, sort of, bye. And topping the charts game-wise was our favorite game ever, Octopath Traveler. Okay, not favorite game ever. That would be Arms for Tyler.
But, Todd's favorite game ever is Octopath Traveler, though.
No, it's not. It's honestly not.
No, it is. No,
I like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 more. I do. But it's close. I would probably put it number 3 behind Xenoblade and Breath of the Wild. I almost said Path of the Wild, which I want as a sequel now. So, Ulbrich and Link teaming up to, you know. yeah. But seriously, Octopath Traveler was number 1 in NPD, and it's important to note that it did not include the digital sales. So it was number 1 even without the digital sales, which I'm pretty sure were pretty big given all the pushing that Nintendo had to do because of all the physical copies selling out. But even bigger than that, and this is what I really want to talk about, is that 6 of the top 10 games in July were Nintendo titles. Octopath Traveler, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, which came out on June 29th, but so obviously the sales transferred, Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, and Mario Tennis Aces.
Woo!
Yeah.
Honestly, none of those are even going to compare to when Smash comes out. The hype for it is real.
It's true. Yeah, absolutely
true. But that's in December, so Nintendo has to keep doing well until then, and so it's good to see that July was finally their month. They have not had a number one month since December of last year.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That was really the most shocking thing to me about this. Not that the Switch was number one, but the fact that, I mean, Octopath sold a million copies, which is a lot. Yeah. But, you know, like Kevin said, it's not Smash Bros. Like, Octopath is a nice third-party game, but it's not even a massive third-party game. And yet that was enough to put the Switch to number one. Like, I think that anybody who was, you know, counting the Switch out and betting against the Switch, this is probably a good wake-up call for them that, no, all it takes is one good game for people to jump back on the console, and people love the Switch.
I mean, to be fair as well, I'm just looking at the other consoles compared to everyone else. I think Octopath Traveler is pretty much the only JRPG, quote-unquote, RPG game that is out there in these, like, months, the month it released it. So I think that was, like, it pretty much had that RPG genre market all to itself, it seems. I think that's also another reason why it boosted that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, we had, like, numerous sellouts in Japan. It was so hype in the U.S. I mean, the demos downloaded, like, over a million times and such. So, and now we can add Kevin to the list of people who are going to buy it. So, you know, 1,100,001. So, but no, I was so happy because we all knew that Octopath sold over a million. I mean, that was a recurring news story that we kept wanting to get confirmation of, and we finally got it. But now to hear that it was, you know, the top game of July. And granted, there, if you look at the list, there's no, like, new games out. I mean, gosh dang it, Grand Theft Auto 5 was number 2.
Right.
How is that game still selling like that?
Rockstar, I mean, baby. It's Rockstar.
Yeah, Rockstar. But I mean, you know, there wasn't any, like, you know, like a God of War or a, you know, Ni No Kuni or something like that to challenge it. And that's no doubt one of the reasons it made number one, but still that's pretty freaking epic. And then five other Nintendo titles, including Crash Bandicoot, which is third party, you know, helping out. And Tyler's other favorite game ever, Mario Tennis Aces, still in the top 10 after being number one in June. You know, that shows it still had some staying power in the month. So congrats to you, Tyler.
Yeah, I am. I'm kind of surprised that it stuck around given the kind of negative reception it got post-release, but no, apparently it sold really well. I wonder what it's up to.
It's still being upgraded naturally. I mean, again, same with Splatoon 1, it's still being upgraded. I mean, we're going to get Diddy next month soon, so...
Yeah, I'm pumped for that. I haven't played this week, but God, I'm waiting for Diddy. When Diddy comes in, I'm back on the grind.
And then, of course, the other difference is that this is like a sports game, unlike, you know, Kart and Odyssey, which are totally different beasts entirely. So those have more staying power, but still, Aces sold a million in 7 days.
And I'm sorry, are you saying racing isn't a sport?
Not in the way that Mario Tennis Aces and these other games are. That's what I mean. Racing is a sport, but it's in the case of this game, it is a different kind of sport.
NASCAR Twitter, do your thing.
At Guardians Comic.
@Guardians_comic, get it right. No. Well, it's the same thing. Like, it's great example. It's the same thing like how Paper Mario isn't the same as a pure Mario title. It's still Mario, but it's a different kind of Mario. It's the same thing here. Mario Kart is another level than all the other Mario sports games. They have never ever had a Mario sports game compare to Mario Kart in terms of sales. So that's what I'm saying. If you're like, prove me wrong, man. Huh? Huh? That's what I thought. That's why I'm the host. Dang it. So, but no, it is a sports game, but it's a different kind of sports game. So that's all I'm trying to say. So, but seriously, I am so happy for Nintendo. I'm really curious to see how August goes for them because they haven't had a big release this month.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
So, and I mean, September is going to be Dragon Ball FighterZ and Golden Country, so that's something. And then October, Super Mario Party, which apparently is doing really good at GamesCon. Like, the whole, like, placing the Switches around for, like, the tank game. IGN did something, and they're apparently raving about it. So, you know, that's something, I suppose. I don't trust IGN anymore because they wrote a good movie review for an absolutely crap movie that I refuse to name on this podcast because that is sullying the name of this podcast. But you should all know the movie I'm talking about because it's the only crap movie that's coming out this week. So, yeah, but they gave it a good review when everyone else is trashing it. I'm like, gosh dang you, IGN. Gosh dang you. I'm collecting myself, moving on. But like I said, I'm very happy for Nintendo. I'm pumped that Octopath Traveler got number one. It totally deserves that honor, and we'll just have to see where it all goes from here. So now, even though Gamescom is this week, there was another thing going on called the 2018 Computer Entertainment Developers Conference. This happened in Japan. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Shigeru Miyamoto, was there. And he was asked to give a keynote speech. And he talked about the game industry, his career, et cetera, et cetera. And one thing he talked about was MMORPGs. And he noted that not only does he not like the genre, he never has the interest to make a game in the genre. And he said, and I quote, "A few years ago when MMORPGs were coming into fashion, I didn't want to make one. Since I get tired of things easily, I don't want to keep making one game." And he also noticed things like the whole billing model, the subscription service, which obviously has changed slightly because there's now free-to-play MMORPGs. But it just reminded me that even though they've had games, Nintendo has had games with MMO-like qualities, like Xenoblade Chronicles X was a big example
of this.
They've had a few Phantasy Star games, and especially in Japan. Nintendo doesn't have a franchise that's an MMORPG, and I don't think they ever will, especially if Shigeru's not making it. So, what are your thoughts on this, guys?
Like, regarding to MMOs themselves, like, I haven't actually played an MMO since the days of Ragnarok Online, back in, the 2000 years, back in my junior high school. So, and, like, I mean, again, World of Warcraft is currently the biggest MMORPG out there right now, and of course, with the new expansion, Battle of Azeroth, everyone's just, like, on it right now. But, I mean, if Shigeru Miyamoto doesn't want to make an MMO, that's fine, because... Like, a Nintendo MMO, it's almost unheard of, to say the Like, you, what series itself is possible for an MMO is, like a Mario MMO, even for, the basic, a Zelda MMO. Like, no. Can you imagine that?
Go even beyond that. Just, they would have to make an MMO. Even if they do, new franchise, they would still have to make an MMO that they would have to dedicate a whole team to for, years, if not more.
Yeah.
They've never done that, even with DLC, which even now they're, only doing loosely. So they've never done anything like that.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, I don't see Nintendo doing something like that. I mean, heck, they're not like Blizzard, Activision. They're not like nothing of that company. Again, Nintendo's Nintendo. They always did their own things. And then, heck, the one thing I acknowledge Nintendo is that they always make fun games. And hit or miss, they always have made fun games. So that... And MMOs, depending on your definition of fun, I mean, MMOs, like... It depends if you can say it's fun or if you can say it's grindy. I don't know. Depending on your own definition, it's yeah. Like, as far as I'm concerned, Nintendo, stay out of the MMO market. Just do your own thing. Just make fun games.
Tyler, how about you?
I mean, my only thought about that, because I do agree with him, is that it almost... I mean, World of Warcraft is Blizzard's biggest game, and I know he's not taking a shot.
I would argue Overwatch is now. I mean, think about it.
Just about even.
I guess you're right. But obviously, World of Warcraft is such a staple.
Historically, you got to go with World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but I'm just saying there's over 35 million players playing Overwatch versus the technically 10 million that are still on World of Warcraft. That's kind of a difference.
Anyway, point aside.
It's bad.
Diablo just got announced for Switch.
Yeah.
So it does seem like kind of weird timing to be like, I find those games boring when you're trying to, cultivate a partnership with Blizzard. I know that that's not going to affect it at all, but it is just a, kind of an interesting design philosophy. If I was trying to recruit other developers, I certainly wouldn't kind of paint with such a broad stroke. That being said, I do agree. I'm not a really big MMORPG guy.
What about you, Kevin?
Well, I have never actually played an MMORPG, but, firstly, the games that Miyamoto has designed, it seems like, are very hero-based, if you will, where you got, one hero, so it doesn't seem like his story style just from the beginning right there. Everybody else made very valid points, and like I said, I'm not a big MMO player, so, that doesn't count me. Just reading about, knowing Miyamoto's accomplishments, it doesn't surprise me that that's not his bag.
See, for me, it's just, I always like that people always lump generalities in with each other. Like, if he can make this game, he can make this game. Sure, he could, but does he want to? Because remember, while this is a business and this is people doing a job, some of them still have to have the desire to make things. A great example is Mega Man. All right, after Mega Man 10, this is when Keiji Iafune left Capcom to make the dumpster fire that was Mighty No. 9. No one felt the urge to make Mega Man because they're like, we can't step on Iafune's territory. And so that's why it went 8 years before Mega Man 11. And if with Miyamoto, after everything he's done and all the characters he's made, if he doesn't feel the urge to make a MMORPG, I'm not going to blame him. And if Nintendo doesn't want to make an MMORPG, I'm not going to blame them. Because I, too, have tried and failed to play MMORPGs, and they're grinding. I mean, I know RPGs are grindy, but, this is even more grindy. Go to a place, get 20 of an item, go back. Hey, I need you to get another 20 things from this place. I mean, seriously, Doc. Enough!
There's only so many fetch quests you can go
yes,
to.
Fetch quests.
And handle, yes.
So, but it's just... I love his honesty, because he's seen everything. He's been around since 1983 in terms of the gaming industry, and even before then, technically, with the Donkey Kong arcade game. And it's just, I like hearing this honesty, because he doesn't like it. He doesn't like the idea of making one game forever and the billing model and everything, and especially in this day and age where we have microtransactions and loot boxes galore. I love hearing a guy say, I don't like this stuff. So that's why he's one of my heroes in life. Go Miyamoto.
Aye, aye.
Oh, no, seriously, I wrote like a 10-page paper on him in high school. It was like one of the best times of my life because it was like writing about Nintendo and getting an A. Okay, I got a B in it, but whatever.
Funny enough, I actually did a PowerPoint presentation in business
Really?
class in college, yeah, on
Nice.
Nintendo as well.
Nice. So, like mine, well. All right, moving on to something we kind of talked about before. Faye Channel. So this one kind of came out of nowhere, because we just had a Faye Channel last month. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, hey, we're going to do the Choose Your Legends thing. And like we said, we got Ephraim and Hector and Veronica and Celica, which were very interesting because I just love that Veronica got voted for.
Right. That's the amazing thing. Like, a character from Heroes made it into Choose of Legends, and it's Veronica. It's like, holy moly.
I mean, and think about that. That because first of all, Veronica's technically a villain, at least in the book one, where she was the definitive villain, and yet people resonated with her so much that they voted for her over classic characters like Erica, Grail Mercenaries, and who was that one lord, Tyler, that you like? Who didn't get voted for in Choose
Well,
Your
he's
Legends?
not in the women's ballot,
And the women
so that's
division.
But still,
invalid argument.
don't care.
But anyways, I got one word for you: memes. Because that is why Veronica got in. She is on a gajillion different heroes memes, especially on
Really?
Fire Emblem Heroes Reddit. Especially with her and Xander. Everybody loves her and Xander. They have the
That.
one where she's on the horse going, "I'm going to kill you," and Xander's in the background, just doing his, being a she's a little child next to him.
I think I can figure out the secret behind Veronica's popularity, which I will not disclose right now.
Yeah, keep it family friendly, Will. Shut up. But I honestly didn't know she was part of meme, so maybe that explains it.
Yeah, that would be that's the primary. I mean, she's not like she had any plot development, so it's kind of hard to
Well,
resonate with her.
I won't go
hang on,
that
hang
far.
on,
She
hang
has
on,
had a
because
little.
she definitely had some plot development, like in the later, especially in book two, and
Yeah, book
especially with
two.
the meeting of the new characters like Loki and with and Surtr.
Yeah.
So there is some development,
I'm
and
sorry, can I interrupt real quick? You guys, you're talking about Veronica of Fire Emblem. I've never played a Fire Emblem game. You said book? Are there like novels?
No. It's in the Fire Emblem Heroes mobile game, they have the story divided up into chapters, and then the chapters make up a book.
I see.
So
It's only in Heroes
it's
too. It's
only in
kind of
Heroes.
yeah.
Fire
It's
Emblem
only in
Heroes.
Heroes.
Fire Emblem Heroes.
I
So,
see. Okay.
and we now know to banish you from this podcast because you don't like Fire Emblem. So,
I didn't
but
say I don't like Fire Emblem. I've just never played it.
that
And
proves
I
you
think
don't
that's a
like
blessing and a curse for you, man, because like you do not want to be what else. You don't want to do blood sacrifices. Trust me, I have
it.
done them.
Five. Let's see, where were we at? It was like 200 of the $400 million that Fire Emblem Heroes made as a mobile game is from Tyler and Will alone. So, so many
I may
blood
have
sacrifices.
contributed a percentage of that. Yes.
Yeah, I know. So, see, like I said, that between the two of you, so 25% from Will and 25% from Tyler. See, percentage. I can proudly say I only spent $20, and that was because I was just mad that I wasn't
No,
getting
you
five
spent more than
stars.
that. You spent at
No, you spent
least
more than
40
that.
bucks.
Okay, sorry, you're right. It was 40, and that was because of Choose Your Legends number one. So that was two times, but still, 40 compared to 200 million between you two. I mean, seriously, guys, it's not even a comparison.
This is like an iPhone game you guys are talking about?
Yeah,
Well, yes.
iPhone and
iOS
Android.
and Android, yes.
It
Yeah,
just
totally.
don't download it. It's not even that good, and you
Oh,
spend a
come
lot of
on.
money on it. It's a death trap, let me tell you.
As a guy who's only spent $40, it's not a death trap.
I don't think I've ever spent any dollars on iPhone
Good.
games.
That's the way
Good,
to be.
good.
That's the way to
Don't.
be.
Yeah.
2017 was a dark time.
Yes.
Is that what you call it these days? No, but no, you look, at least look it up just to see if you would try. You're not going to get a lot of things because it's a, think of it like a culmination of both the Fire Emblem franchise. It has characters from all the video games in it. So you're not going to understand a lot of things, but it's still good for a beginner should you want to try. And there is a Fire Emblem game coming out for Switch next year, so might get you a little prepared.
And
So,
there already is one, right? There's a Fire Emblem game on Switch.
no, that well,
Yes.
yes, it's Fire Emblem Warriors, but
Oh no, but
that's a hack
that's
and
like
slash.
Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah,
That's
that's
not
hack and
the yeah.
slash. A pure Fire Emblem game is coming out next spring.
Now don't get
Supposed to
me
come
wrong,
out
I
this
love
year.
those hack and slash games, but
Ah. Yeah, no, then you might want to check Warriors out. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
I'd enjoyed it. I gave it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, most people who are into the Dynasty Warriors games say that that's one of the better ones. So, and I agree. They had some nice elements from the Fire Emblem series that added a wee bit of complexity to the gameplay, just a little bit. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Like a wee bit of complexity. All right, moving on. Oh, actually, I want to talk about one thing. I like the art, but my favorite is Celica because they reference her Gaiden look.
Right.
That was really, really clever. And then Veronica's, I love how they reference that. No, this isn't our Veronica. This is Multiverse Veronica. You know,
right,
she's a good person.
Right.
So yeah, I like that. But which one?
And, yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. But basically, like, also during that the paralogue chapters, like when like, oh hey, come on, let's go. The other world is doing the Choose Legends. Yeah, but, like, I'm seeing the candidates, and there's one thing that disturbs me. And
yeah.
That's like, yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm just trying to picture that cutscene where they actually, like, you know, summon her, and it's like Veronica, and they're like, weapons at the ready now, I'm not your Veronica, it's a different one. So that's funny to think about. But yeah, I like it, and even though I've only got two of them, I'm sure they'll come back in the next like Legends banner event or whatever, so here's helping. But yeah, all right, a double dose of indie news. No, triple dose of indie news. First off, let's get the smaller one out of the way. Gone Home was supposed to come out, I think, today or this week. It's been pushed back to September, so, you know, if you've been looking forward to that, you gotta wait a little longer, okay? Then Nintendo UK, apparently, I didn't realize it was them, released an indie highlights video earlier in the week, and it showed up a lot of big indie games coming soon or coming next year. I asked two of you, not you, Kevin, because you were spur of the moment, but What game stood out to you guys when you watched that indie highlights video?
Ah, man, like, from what I've just basically seen, like, there are, the one thing that really stood out to me is, like, during that presentation, that showcase, like, most of these indie titles were announced ready out and available. Like, for example, like North, that Nordic strategic game, North, Battle North, something like that.
Yeah, it was Bad North.
Yeah,
Bad North.
Thank you, man.
Bad North.
Yeah, that game was, like, already out already, and, like, from what I've seen, some videos, it's again very interesting. Like, again, the defensive, again, using archers is like a good defense game. It's a great defense game, and of course, Morphe's Law, which we've been talking about many times over.
It's out.
It's currently out right now, and apparently, it's really gaining some popularity to the point that it's actually a cameo item for another series. Which, no spoilers, it's Travis Touchdown's No More Heroes, which actually is now a shirt you can wear on Travis Touchdown in his game. So apparently Morphe's Law is really gaining popularity now. So
yeah, Morphe's Law was a surprise launch too. They did that at E3 with Fortnite, and they did it for Morphe's Law here, which was great. I mean, I'm personally excited to grab it. I haven't picked it up yet, but it looks like a lot of fun. Also, Monster Boy and the Cursed Kingdom stood out to me as a platformer fan.
Yeah, that song that they did, that was like pure anime.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, it was
stuff.
Very anime, but the game looked great.
Yeah, but for me, I liked I'm gonna go a little bit off reservation here, and I liked Nightcall. That was
Nightcall looked cool.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's a 2019 title, so it hasn't been on other platforms yet. I've always been a fan of, like, noir and mystery, and the way they presented it and cut that trailer with, like, you know, you looking in the rearview mirror and seeing all the different passengers and everything, and the choice, the word trees and all that. I really think that's gonna be something really clever. So I look forward to seeing that.
Gardens Between reminded me of your 50,000 miles, Todd.
10,000.
10,000 miles. 10,000 miles.
You got the book. How do you not know the name?
Well, I just slipped up. I'm giving you a free promotional plug, and I'm complimenting you. Accept the compliment.
Fine. He's talking about the graphic novel that I make called 10,000 Miles. It's on Amazon right now. Look it up.
And also The Gardens Between, which looked like, you know, it was about two friends who kind of their houses are separated, but they go on this little mystical adventure together. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, a time travel. Like, that was a really interesting use of time travel to solve the puzzles and everything.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Our guest host Kevin was actually talking to us about the indie games that he got on the Switch, including a Limbo, which is, you know, a legendary indie game. How big of an indie guy are you, Kevin?
You know, I'm not so much a big indie guy as I am a cheapskate, so but no, I do I look for the games like that, you know, you pay $10, $20 and you get you know, 10, 20 hours out of, and those are good. Those are good deals. And you get a lot of, it's fun to play a little game like that. And you get a lot more of those in the indie circuit.
Hey, we all have a money thing, man, and we all have a budget, and some, that's why we love indie games. So sometimes they're just cheap to get, and they can satisfy us for a few days. So
I don't think any indie game will ever be blessed, to be honest. I mean, that's just one of the best games ever made.
Just wait for Undertale. Just wait for Undertale when it comes out.
Oh yeah,
I'm excited for that. But yeah, Celeste just will always be special.
Oh, did you watch that video I sent you the other week?
Probably.
The Screw Attack Top 10.
When did you send that?
It was like a little bit ago. Anyway, but of course you didn't. Anyway, but then Screw Attack did the top 10 indie games on the Nintendo Switch, and Celeste was number one.
Yeah, there you go. Of course.
So I'm looking forward to this. Which is again, this was very sudden. This literally happened in the middle of the night, and then it was like, hey, here's an indie highlights, and now straight from Gamescom. Nintendo has announced that a full-on Nindie showcase is going to happen next week. It's going to happen on the 28th. And they said, video presentation highlighting multiple unannounced indie games coming to Nintendo Switch. So maybe exclusives, maybe Nintendo first. They've had plenty of those. It's another morning one. I'm not sure why they do this.
Yes, I learn lunchtime is 9 a.m. Pacific time, so it's 12 right. p.m. on ours on Eastern time.
Yeah, and 11 in Central. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. But of course, when they do an indie showcase, they never go small. So I'd be very surprised if we didn't see more of like Travis Strikes Back.
I'm still waiting for that game. Yes.
Yes. So we'll see. And again, they're stating, hey, we got some unannounced indie games, so that they must have something big planned, or otherwise they wouldn't have gone to that limit to announce it. They would just, hey, we got another Nindie showcase coming. No, we got a Nindie showcase with Nintendo indie games that you haven't seen yet. So
it's definitely interesting because, like, again, a few weeks ago we reported that Nintendo wants to like release 30 games a week.
Gosh.
And they really, like, it seems with this presentation and all the recent news as well, like, it seems they really are trying to go for this. It seems like,
well, it's all context, because I mean, they can announce as many games as they want, but it's not up to them per se when it's going to release. That numerous indie guys have said, I was like, yeah, you could tell us, hey, we like it to be made around here, but the game's not done. Don't release it.
Okay. So, right. But it really seems that a lot of people, yeah, because I remember some conversations when Clint and I went to play NYC, and we asked that, like, many indie developers, have they ever considered about putting their indie titles to Nintendo Switch? The only main problem is like the development kits for Nintendo Switch, very expensive, unfortunately. So they considered it. But unfortunately, the development kits are very expensive if you want to go develop on a Nintendo Switch.
Fascinating. So
that's why a lot of people, that's why a lot of any developers want to go on like either PS4 or Xbox One, and especially Xbox, because Xbox is easily, it's right there, it's on Xbox One. So that's the reason why. So it's kind of strange, like how Nindies is so populated now with Nintendo instead of like on other consoles, even though like development kits is like, obviously it's expensive and all.
I think it's the trade-off of, hey, you know, the Xbox is cheap to make, but very few people play indie games on Xbox. I mean, how many people have told us that? And then, no, that's not an insult. It's the truth. And, you know, PS4, I think, is a little more of a middle ground. You know, it has hits, but it doesn't have Nindies success. And then Nintendo comes in, you know, not supporting Nindies or Indies for, you know, generations, starts with Wii, does it better with Wii U, throws it to the roof with the Switch, and now they're the Nindie heaven, and yet they have the most extensive dev kit. So, but I mean, if you're making the most sales there, you gotta spend money to make money.
True that.
It's fascinating. So, and of course, we will be covering the Nindie showcase when it arrives next Tuesday. So, stay tuned for that. All right. Are we ready?
Oh, you already know my choice.
Okay. So, As I noted earlier, Kevin is here today because on Twitter, when we found out about the Splatfest, which we'll talk about in a second, but it started a little bit of a war. We were like, oh no, fork is better, spoon is better, fork is better, spoon is better. So we had to do this the right way, and thank goodness, because apparently we had, you know, a unanimous decision before. But now we have Kevin here, So we're gonna really gonna stick a fork in him and show him, tell him that he's done. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to settle it in Splat. Alright, and of course, the Splatfest starts tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Central Time, 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific Time. And it is Fork versus Spoon. And I want to pause for a second and say that this is exactly how insane we predicted this would get.
I was about to say, because like I remember our conversation last time. Yeah. Like, yeah, didn't we want something like the crazy subjects on it? Because again, they didn't know what the next Splatfest topic is going to be. They were just like throwing darts. Now we have something. It's like,
we have proof.
This is definitely a dart throwing topic.
Yeah, because they literally said we're trying to pay attention. This Kevin, you probably didn't see this. The producers of Splatoon 2 noted that they do not know what the last Splatfest is going to be, and they do not plan Splatfest out in advance because they like to, and I quote, listen to the community and see what topics they like. And I can't think of any community right now that's debating, hey, what's better, a fork or a spoon? So yeah, welcome to our world.
I found one, and it's this podcast.
Oh gosh, we do it out of obligation because we need to talk about the Splatfest, because we have had, I know you haven't listened to the show very much, but we have had heated debates here about Splatfest. Mm-hmm. It's so true, isn't that right, Tyler?
I hope the TMNT ones got real intense.
Oh, actually, a little bit. I think most times we were actually on the same page, which was weird.
Yeah, it's very unusual that we were on the same page, yeah. But we did all have Donnie, right? Were we all
Donnie? Yes, except for that one time it was Donnie versus Raph, because I went with Raph out of respect, but then Donnie won, so whatever. But no, actually, one of our biggest ones was chicken or the egg. We got very scientific on that one.
Love versus money.
Ugly sweaters versus ugly socks.
Oh, let me just ask. I got a question for Kevin. It's very important.
Okay.
Do you think that it's a little fishy that the love versus money Splatfest
doesn't have multiple decimal points.
Do you think it's a little fishy that love won by 1% and they didn't give us any further information about it? And then afterwards they added the decimal places for more transparency. Do you think it's a little strange?
No. That does sound fishy. I gotta admit, this is only my fourth Splatfest. I only bought Splatoon 2 at the end of March, so.
Well, you missed perhaps the you've joined in the just era of Splatfests. They used to be corrupt.
They're not corrupt.
Because I happened to win like every Splatfest for the first year until Love versus Money, where somehow I lost that one because I went with
you
money.
You lost. Will. Get over it.
And by 1%.
Hey, Will,
Wait. You're saying love beat money?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
No, it's not.
Exactly.
No, it's not. Michelangelo beating, or sorry, hold on. Who beat Leo in the mutant one? I don't know.
That one was crap because Leo should have won.
Yeah, Leo should have won. Leo should have won. No. But no, it wasn't crap. Here's the thing. And Will, did I miss the part where 8 months defined a year? I didn't realize that there were 8 months in a year, but whatever.
Eight months never lost.
Uh-huh. And then he did lose. And then he created this whole conspiracy about, you know, being Nintendo faking the results for some reason. And then coincidentally, they went to the point system. And then he lost again. And then he still wouldn't admit he lost the first time. And then he lost like two in a row, and he's like, you know, whining, complaining, and all that. So this is what we had to deal with for months.
Let me ask you another question. Oh, has Pearl ever said that the results were, and I quote, rigged?
I have no idea.
Never, except for on Love versus Money.
Because she lost.
Yeah, but when she loses other times, she doesn't.
Does she, though? Does she lose other times?
No, yes. She doesn't lose. Pearl never lost.
She has, repeatedly.
Pearl tends to win those Splatfests, man.
She does.
But that's not on Pearl. That's on them deciding
which...
It's on Pearl. Okay, let's focus. Gosh dang it. Okay, the topic today is fork versus spoon. One at a time. I'll start. State your loyalty. Spoon.
Spoon.
Oh, spoon.
You guys are all nuts. Team Fork.
Oh, gosh. All right. So, okay. Kevin, hold on. Hold on. We must respect our guest before we decimate him. Kevin, floor is yours. Why is a fork superior to a spoon?
Well, I had no passionate feelings about this going into the Splatfest. I put my research into this. So let's go over this point by point. First, forks. You can stab with them. You can't stab with a spoon. And if you try to stab with a spoon, you look like a complete idiot. Second, a spoon is nothing but a glorified tiny shovel. I mean, honestly, that's worthless. Okay, you can
eat
cereal with
Pearl.
It. Way to go if you're like 11 years old. Thirdly, and most importantly, steak. You cannot eat steak with a spoon. And honestly, what is more important?
Ice cream.
So many things.
Ice cream. Ness's favorite food is steak, so I do have a soft spot for steak. And it's true, you can't eat steak with a spoon. Now, I agree with that. That's a good point.
But so is that it?
I'm just waiting. I'll wait for you guys. We've got three people on Team Spoon here, yeah. All spooning together in their Team Spoon. I'll give you guys the opportunity, and I'll just rip your points apart one by one.
Darn, I got to X the spooning argument off because he's already beat me to the punch on that one. So,
all right. Well, I'll start this off because it's clearly come to a fork in the road, and you know. I'm trying to be nice. To
yet another useful expression for forks.
Quiet,
you don't find spoons in the road, do you?
It's a fantastic point.
Okay. How about this? How many Pokemon in existence use forks, and how many use spoons?
Oh, good answer.
That's right. Kadabra and Alakazam both use spoons. Spoons are synonymous with psychic power, and in the words of the legendary Neo, there is no spoon. Whoa.
Yeah, there is no spoon. Firstly, that's and secondly, that has nothing. Neo has nothing to do with psychic power. And while we're on the subject of psychic power, you got a couple of Pokemon using a spoon to like augment their psychic power. When there are plenty of Pokemon who do just fine without. These Pokemon are clearly the deficient Pokemon that need their whatever toy props to go on. So.
First of all, you are insulting.
Go ahead with your points. Go ahead with your points.
I'm starting to have to like chant to myself, ice cream, because ice cream's right there.
Yes.
And you know, Kevin's making a lot of good points here. So, you know, ice cream is a thing.
Ice cream, cereal.
You can eat with spoons, and it's much better enjoyed. I think that's the main point. Yeah, we hit on this a little bit on Twitter, and really is
okay. Cereal, all you want, but honestly, yes, people eat ice cream with a spoon. But you could just as easily eat ice cream with a fork. As a matter of fact, more efficient.
You could. Well, that's no. You could.
You absolutely
right.
could. Think about it for one second.
Okay,
you good. Absolutely could.
Okay, stop.
You
stop,
absolutely
stop.
Could.
Can you eat ice cream with a fork? Yes. Absolutely. I will not deny that. But
okay,
you,
so
because,
I, so
hold
you
on,
just
hold on,
you
hold
just
hold
submitted
on,
the whole
hold
argument
on,
to
hold
me.
On,
so
hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on.
I'll take
stop,
it. I guess.
Stop. But when you dip a fork into ice cream, because it is primarily a liquid, you are now seeping all the liquid from it within the
what are you waiting 45 minutes until your ice cream is scooped to eat it? Like
sometimes
ice cream is not primarily a liquid. The whole point of it is that
it's
in solid form.
What's wrong with you?
I like break it up. I have a great point here. And let's say Kevin is right. You can eat ice cream with the fork, but it's best enjoyed with a spoon.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that, kids.
Macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, macaroni and cheese.
Also best enjoyed with a spoon. As is yogurt. As
yogurt.
Is pudding.
Mm-hmm. Pudding.
Even
Hold on. Counterpoint
pies.
Here. Number one.
I eat pie with a fork.
Yeah, you eat pie with a fork. That's just
silly. Certain pies.
Oh,
okay.
certain pies.
Scoop that up.
Anyway, so yes, yogurt and pudding, I'll admit, you eat those with a spoon, but let's be 100% honest here. Those are both third, possibly fourth tier foods. Like, yogurt and pudding are garbage.
What?
Secondly, you say macaroni and cheese with a spoon?
Yeah.
Yes.
What kind of weird East Coast living are you doing?
I'm from Illinois, dang it.
Okay, look, macaroni is meant, macaroni and cheese is 100% meant to be eaten with a fork. Plus, you can put the little noodles on the tines of the fork.
If you're
it's
five,
way better.
If you're five, put the noodle on the tines,
yes,
I
if
guess.
You're five, or if you like to have fun, I mean, if you're in a, if you're like a square and you've lost all joy in life, sure, eat it with a spoon.
How are you going to scoop up enough cheese with a fork? The spoon cradles
the
cheese.
I'm sorry, if your macaroni and cheese doesn't have this doesn't have cheese stuck to the noodles, then you've made it incorrectly.
Well,
it's not
be...
my fault you're deficient in cooking boxed macaroni and cheese.
Listen, you make a good point. I may be deficient in cooking boxed macaroni.
No, you're not deficient, Tyler.
But you got it. There's always going to be a little extra at the bottom, and the spoon, that's what's going to get that up. All about the spoon for that.
I have yet to hear a valid point. I have yet to hear a valid argument for Team Spoon. I'm sorry.
Oh my. No. And then you denied ice cream.
Let me also compliment on something regarding, because like when you eat macaroni and cheese, ice cream, whatever, check, you always do notice on the container, there's always that little scrapes, that always little bits that's always stuck on the cup. Like, have you ever tried trying to scrape it off with a fork?
No.
You know how hard that is?
Good point,
Will. When you had that curved edge, that is much more better getting the stuff at the bottom of the cup or at the bottom of the sides of the cup. That's the perfect.
All right, I will admit that spoons are better for eating the slop that sticks to the sides. Congratulations.
Oh my gosh. All right, how about
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, SpaghettiOs. SpaghettiOs, try to eat that with a fork.
Again, a tier four food. Like,
No. SpaghettiOs are a god tier food. They are the Pikachu of Smash 64. They are untouchable.
I mean, yeah, okay, forks are better for eating ramen noodles, but I don't bring it up because it's fourth tier food. Come on, give me a good argument here.
Well, ramen noodles, but SpaghettiOs are delicious.
Oh my gosh, SpaghettiOs are just ramen noodles with extra, with like a little creamier. It's no different.
Yeah,
come on,
really
give me
good.
A good argument here.
We have given you good arguments. You're
you've
just,
given
you're
me
just
nothing.
Being ignorant.
You've given me nothing acceptable.
Okay, here's,
all of
here's
your...
why. Okay, I'll give you a good
dismissed,
argument. I'll
disallowed.
Speak.
Disbarred.
I'm clearly talking to a 5-year old, so let me talk to you like a 5-year old. All right, so imagine this. Thanksgiving dinner. No, I'm not talking about turkey. Just hear me out, okay?
Okay, well, you've just negated your whole argument.
No, if you don't let me finish, you can't hear the
argument,
which is why you're
turkey.
Ignorant and losing this, okay? So you're at Thanksgiving dinner, okay? And do you have a sister, Kevin?
I have two.
Okay, there you go. You're sitting with your family. Your sisters are across the table for you. And all of a sudden, one of them sticks their tongue out at you, and you're like, oh, heck no. I ain't letting that stand. So you see that there's mashed potatoes next to you. And what do? You want to fling that potatoes at your sister. Do you go to a fork to fling those potatoes? No, sir! You go to a spoon, you scoop it up as big as you can, and you lush those potatoes at your sister. Because if you do it with a fork, you're not going to get the most potato per capita. Spoons are better for flinging food. End of argument.
I'm sorry, life is not a Disney Channel original movie here, okay?
Wow, okay.
You don't
point,
fling
point
food
get,
across the table
reference.
At your parents' house for Thanksgiving dinner. That's just pure disrespect is what it is.
Wait, did you say
all
family
these,
dinner
all
is
all of these arguments, what is up? Like, you people, what is wrong?
Whoa, what do you mean, you people?
Let's rewind for a second people? Here to one of the allegedly bad arguments. Cereal is one of life's greatest joys, and you cannot eat that with a fork, and you just can't overlook that. That cannot be overlooked.
Can't.
Cereal, spoon. I mean, that's pretty much a walk-off.
With our luck, Tyler, he doesn't eat cereal with milk, so that's probably his argument.
Well, no, that's just silly. No, of course I eat cereal with milk. And cereal is the one redeeming quality, I guess, of spoons, but it is 100% beat by literally any meat. You cannot.
What?
You don't eat meat with like. I don't know.
What if you're a vegetarian, hotshot? What if you're a vegetarian or vegan?
Then join Team Spoon and lose with the rest of you guys. Right. I don't care.
Wow. You have to be minus points. You're going to get plus points for steak, but minus points for salad. I mean, you have to use a fork to eat salad.
And
you
I acknowledge
eat
that.
Salad. That's a negative.
What do you hate good health? What are you, an anti-health? You know what?
As
Team Spoon is
fact.
The cause of obesity in this country because of your anti-salad rhetoric.
Yeah. Listen, there's better ways to be healthy than to eat salad. I mean, and it's just not tasty, and you had to eat it with a fork. Also, I don't know if you like to cook or not. You know, I, personally, I'm a bit of a kitchen connoisseur, even though I don't like salad.
Weren't you just talking about not being deficient in making box noodles?
No, that was your accusation, and he gave you a
He kind of caved on it, though.
I quickly caved on because I felt like it wasn't worth really dredging on. However, I happened to make delicious pasta sauce, and you know what I use to stir that? A spoon.
Boom.
And I use a spoon to stir everything that you have to cook.
Now,
You use a spoon.
A valid point. You make a valid point. You stir it with a spoon. Now tell me, that pasta sauce, what do you put it on?
Well, I could put it on a variety.
You put it on pasta. And what do you eat pasta with?
A spoon.
A fork. Spoon. That's right.
Depends on the pasta. Okay, wait, hold on. It depends on the pasta. We got to be fair.
It depends on the pasta. Get out of here. You eat pasta with a fork.
Spaghetti Alfredo, you eat with a fork. Ravioli, more than likely you eat with a fork, even if unless it's bite size, and you could put it all on a spoon.
Yes.
Macaroni, which is a pasta, is
you eat with
a
fork.
With a spoon. You eat with a spoon.
Yeah, you eat with a fork.
Tortellinis, I also
I go 50-50. Depends on the size. So.
See, the problem with this argument, though, is I wasn't really talking about pasta. You just make the sauce. I make meat.
Okay, you can
so
make...
I just eat that with the spoon right out
of the container. You just eat
right
the pasta thing. Sauce with a spoon
right out
without
of the
any of the
it's
pasta.
Like right out of
Look,
the pot.
You guys' freaky dietary habits is not my concern in this.
Yeah, and your obliviousness to the greatness of the spoon is bewildering, but we put up with you anyway. Okay, here's another one. Here, I'll get. How about let's change topics. Let's go away from food. I know it's hard for you. I know it's hard, Kevin. But let's just go with that. How many songs out there are about forks? Because I know a song about a spoon that's both G-rated and you know very very popular, and it was sung by the one and only Mary Poppins. Spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
I feel like I should just sit back and let you guys make my arguments for me
at this point.
I'm using that as a platform because when you need medicine, you need exactly what do they say? A forkful of medicine? No, they say a spoonful of medicine. You need a teaspoon. You need a tablespoon. You need the spoon.
And I don't know. I feel, and also with my intro as well, I feel that the cartoon show, they even say that a spoon is a great battle cry. Spoon!
Yeah, yeah. So we have the Tick. What superhero do you have that uses a fork?
All right. Well, I guess if you're gonna do this to me, I have both Aquaman and Satan himself.
That's a trident. That's not a fork.
What do you think a trident is? It's a big freaking fork.
It's basically a big fork, let's be honest. He's right about that. It's basically a big fork.
It's not a fork.
It's a fork. I'm sorry, but I mean, Aquaman's a pretty cool superhero, and honestly, one of the longest running superheroes, supervillains
of
all time.
Most useless superhero.
It's Satan himself.
Yeah, which well, there's your argument for us. The Satan sucks. That's why he uses a fork.
Oh no, we fully admitted to being the dark side in this. That's fine. If you guys want to go, you guys want to go with your. We'll go. Yeah, we got this 100%.
No, we got this.
You got three people who have given me
spoon,
one valid argument, and that's cereal.
Pasta sauce eaten right out of the pot is
negated by the pasta it goes on.
No, but when you eat it right out of the pot, you gotta consider that it's meat sauce, so it's
when
not
you
like...
eat it right out of the pot. When you eat the pasta sauce right out of
but
okay,
you taste
all
right, it. You
I'll
taste
give
it
you
right
that.
Out of the
I
pot.
Guess
when Thank you eat homemade sauce, you taste it out of the pot to make sure it's good. You put it on what? Yeah, put it on a wooden spoon.
You put it on pasta and eat the pasta with a fork. It's
not all pasta
negated.
Because like I'm gonna go a little bit much more original here. For me, like I as far as concerned, I think every single family here, and it's mostly, but also just about every single family I know, like what is the one of the most basic food that you eat?
Cereal.
Every single day, every single night.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal. There's another great
oatmeal
one.
Or
oatmeal
that's
fork.
Right. But you also know one thing that's also very commonly eaten: rice.
Good point.
And also, like, how many times? Like, I mean, many of us Asians pretty much gonna agree with this fact. Like, we pretty much eat rice every single day. And you know how we eat rice? You know how we also take rice out of the rice cooker? We use
a
rice spoon. And that rice is when not one of the most basic foods and has survived throughout the eons.
Whoa, you are blowing my mind right here because I eat rice exclusively with a fork. And
monster
or chopsticks.
Monster.
Chopsticks are different, and you know it.
You gotta go
I know
back.
I know
to...
they're different, but I don't think I've ever eaten rice with a spoon.
This
like
goes
this is blowing my mind right now. People eat rice with a spoon?
Yes.
You
it goes monster. Back to the fact that
what kind
you
of...
can eat a lot of stuff with forks and spoons, but it's always best enjoyed with spoon.
Spoons. Spoons.
You guys are making me so sad. You guys have
You're
what,
making me sad.
What
you're
is wrong with you?
Valid arguments
forks
you...
are forks are 100%, and everything you can eat with a spoon except cereal, you can eat with a fork.
Oh,
oatmeal,
you can't eat
it's
rice
just
with
as
a fork.
Good. Oatmeal, get... oatmeal again. You, it's garbage fifth tier food.
Oh,
like,
why?
Oatmeal is like breakfast slop if you can't afford cereal.
Okay, you have insulted us on our food choices. You can't talk crap because you have just said that oatmeal. What was the other one? SpaghettiOs and certain other beloved foods across the world are second, third, fourth tier crap. You have no right talking to us about our
people
food choices,
across
all right?
The world agree that they're second, third, fourth tier crap. That's why
you
don't buy
have any SpaghettiOs, that
SpaghettiOs
for 40 are sold
cents
every year?
A can when you don't have time to make real pasta.
I hate to shift gears here because you know this has been a trend in my life the past 2 weeks. Do you guys know what water ice is?
Water ice.
God, I hate all of you. I hate the world. Water ice. Do you know what water ice is? It's delicious. It's a frozen treat that and you go to Rita's and you get water ice and you eat it with a spoon. Ah, fuck. Gosh. Does anybody know what water ice is in this world? Besides people
Hold on.
From South
Tyler.
Jersey.
Tyler.
Nani kore.
Tyler, are you saying water ice or
yes!
wood or ice?
Water ice.
Looking up right now.
You kept saying water, dude.
Yeah, because
like...
I say water because that's how you pronounce water. But
oh, Rita,
also
oh, Italian ice. Italian ice is basically.
No, not Italian. Yeah, Italian ice is whatever he tells me it's called. They are wrong. It's called water ice. It's delicious, and you eat it with a spoon. Frozen treat.
This is a snow cone.
No, it's not a snow cone.
I'm looking at images on Google right now. It's a snow cone.
No.
Here, Tyler, type it into the chat, and then we'll copy and paste
it
into Google.
He's saying wooder, a W-O-O-D-E-R.
Yeah, I know.
This has been an argument that I've had with many people, and every single person lets me down.
It's a snow cone.
No, it's water ice. Let me show you. Yes. Diane's water ice.
Diane's water ice.
Great. Gourmet. It's called Italian water ice, but nobody ever says the Italian part. It's just water
ice. Oh, wait,
ice.
I got it. Okay, while you're looking up water ice, Kevin.
Yeah.
You have... Where do you live again, actually?
Indiana.
Oh, we're close. I didn't realize you were that close.
Yeah.
Or maybe we did, and I just forgot. It's been a while. Anyway, but okay, so do you have a Dairy Queen, or you know, DQ, near your place?
Of course.
Okay, have you ever had a Blizzard? Like Oreo, M&M?
I have.
Okay. What does DQ give you with the Blizzard?
They give you a spoon.
That's right, they give you a spoon. That's how you're supposed to eat it. And Blizzards are awesome.
Sure. Yeah. You're still not. None of you have given me. We've already discussed ice cream. Like I don't
that's
know.
Better than
it
ice cream.
It
that's
could just as easily be eaten with a fork.
No, I mean, the
fact that a spoon is what Dairy Queen has deemed that you deserve, it's just because they don't want to stock forks and spoons.
They have forks. You realize that. They serve things with forks at DQ.
What do they serve with forks at DQ?
Pies and they cakes, don't... which I acknowledge you eat cakes with a fork. I won't deny that. you eat cake with a fork. I'm sorry.
And
unless
what kind of cakes do they sell at Dairy Queen?
Cake. Ice cream cake.
Yeah, ice cream cake. And they give you a fork, and it works just as well. It's amazing how a fork can do anything a spoon can do.
Except a fork can do a lot, but ultimately, all that stuff you'd rather have this for. By the way, check out water ice, and please tell me that that's something that you've seen before.
Okay, hold on.
I mean, it looks like a snow cone to me, and
it's
I know
Italian ISIS.
Yeah, it's a snow cone, and I've seen snow cones, so yeah.
No, it's not. It's different texture. It's a different texture. A snow cone is like... like ice, but this has got a water element extended.
actually, I kind of have to go with Tyler here. I know what a snow cone looks like, and that ain't a snow cone.
Yeah. It's a
totally
different texture.
Different.
A little creamy, you know, a little cream to
it.
Yeah,
it looks more solid
like
than a snow
cone. Like Wendy's Frosties.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Oh, Frosties. What do you eat Frosties with, gentlemen? A spoon!
Good answer.
Thank
Good
you.
Point.
Thank you. But no, I have to agree with you, Tyler.
You eat a Frosty with French fries. I'm sorry, but this is that's
well, okay.
The
that's true. That is true. But I mean, that's neither utensil. So that's like a middle ground. That's a middle ground that we can all agree on.
No, I gotta say, Kevin's a lot of defense here. Like, that seems like it's his game plan coming in, which is just say all of our points were bad.
Yeah.
You haven't really made it.
I would have admitted if you guys had made a good point, but I'm a rational, reasonable person. The fact that you guys are submitting evidence to the court that the court is just denying is not my fault.
Yes, it is, because you're pretending to be a judge when you're not even on. Exactly, you're on the jury. You are one of twelve.
And the fact that you guys are out of line, and I hold you all in contempt.
Objection.
I mean, you've missed so many chances. Good points about forks, like cheese fries. You got to eat those with a fork. That's a huge gap in your argument here. You haven't even mentioned
you're right. Keep going and expounding on the benefits of the fork. I haven't had to make that much of a defense because you guys haven't really had that much offense in your game here.
You're thinking that your defense is superior because we're overwhelming you with all the stuff you can do with a spoon, and you can say that's crab, that's bad food, you could do that with a fork. That's your defense.
Have I been wrong?
You guys have really just been presenting me with one easy dunk after another.
Okay, I'm reading this, and this is the first thing that comes with the benefits of spoon. Directly on the first page of Google, the benefits of conical spoon, more food can be put it on equally. Your baby can get food as quickly as you want, and you can go at their respective pace. So basically, which food can grant you the most amount?
I'm sorry, did you resort to Googling the benefits of the spoon?
Well, because you clearly weren't believing us, so why can't we trust Google if you're not going to believe us? Google is eternal, that's why God made it on the ninth day.
Okay, hold on, let me pull up Wikipedia and email you guys the article so you guys can come up with a valid argument.
Okay,
hey Tyler,
let's
remember how you
recap really quick here. The benefits of spoons, you got cereal, you got stirring, you got eating pasta sauce right out of the pot.
Ice cream.
You've got ice cream.
You don't have ice cream because it can be equally.
Yes, you definitely have ice
cream with a fork.
Ice cream is
the
better.
The fact that it's defaulted to the spoon is just the spoon. Basically, what you guys are saying is the spoon is just a social construct.
Your argument is a social construct.
You've had
all arguments are a social construct. That's the definition of an argument.
All of those great arguments, and then you have fork is good for steak, and that's it. There's been nothing about steak, and I had to broach the cheese fries topic, which, don't forget,
Tyler, it's Satan's preferred weapon, which clearly makes it superior. Unlike it being the tick's catchphrase, which is eternal.
I just feel like this is a blowout for
I'm sorry,
food,
did
honestly.
You just say the tick is more eternal than the
No, I said
devil?
the tick's
okay,
catchphrase
so,
is
okay,
eternal.
So let's dig into this. Since you guys had three chances and you guys made me start out, let's have the guy who's one on three start out. It seems like an argument tactic, but all right. So yeah,
being kind. I'm the host.
you're being kind. Okay, so you got chili fries, literally all pasta. And don't even give me this macaroni and cheese stuff because macaroni and cheese is eaten with a fork.
No,
I don't know what nonsense you grew up on, it's best enjoyed
with the spoon. That's an obvious fact.
That's just silly, Tyler. I'm sorry to say that's just silly.
Half your arguments are silly, and yet you keep saying you're winning. So I am very clearly winning.
We'll leave it up to the listeners, I guess.
He's trying to build a wall and put us over it with his lies. And his fake news. Oh my gosh, we got Trump. I didn't realize this. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, one more argument. Has everyone here seen the artwork of the Flat Fest?
The special art they made?
Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I think I've seen it, yeah.
Yes. And doesn't the spoon defenders remind you of a certain Shovel Knight in a certain way?
Shovel Knight.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and actually, thank you for reminding me, Will. I want you to imagine, gentlemen, that you're in prison, or in the case of Kevin over there, a psych ward. If you're trying to break your way out, and you're trying to dig through the ground, are you gonna use a fork? No, you use a spoon.
Well, it depends on your type of personality. Let's be honest with you. You might go aggro and try to stick somebody with the fork. Probably won't work.
Honestly, the fork is probably more useful in prison, but they don't allow those. So.
Yeah, and then if you get caught with one, you're going to solitary confinement where they'll just take your spoon away. So, yeah, so, I don't know. So what's really better there?
Okay, so going back to that artwork, I hadn't seen it before, but I just looked it up. And, yeah, okay, I'll give you a vague resemblance to Shovel Knight in that Marina is wearing armor. But look at Pearl in that artwork, man. She looks like a post-apocalyptic badass. I mean, how could you not go Team Fork after seeing that?
Because a spoon is better. Duh.
No, I mean, listen, Pearl's always cooler looking than Marina. It's not.
False. Fake news.
It's always true. I mean, Pearl is superior in every way. But, you know, she is wrong about this one. But she is superior in every way. We got to remind people of that.
Fake news.
Nope.
I like your defense here is that, oh, fake news, some kind of wall that nobody mentioned until you brought it up.
Because you're acting like freaking Trump, where you're denying all of our facts.
Am I, or is that you? You just yelled fake news like three times.
Because I'm
three
you're
different
the
arguments.
One who's spouting fake news. You
now
just,
who's
you
the
said
one
that macaroni cheese is supposed to be with a fork
Trumpian.
When all of the world knows. No, most of the world except for you knows you eat it with a spoon. How do you eat macaroni with a fork when you could lose all the great cheesy goodness?
The cheese sticks to the noodles, my friend.
No,
the cheese
it doesn't.
Sticks
go to
the noodles.
All you
have you
eat
ever
buffet,
seen mac and cheese?
Cheese
you're
sauce.
Over-milking your mac and cheese, and that's not my fault.
Hey, I just
have you
said
ever...
all you can eat buffet, dog. So I'm talking about actual professional cooks here.
Homemade mac and cheese. You're getting that with a spoon. You're getting that with a spoon.
Yes, a spoon.
Unless you're a child, in which case you want to put the noodles on the edge of the spoon, and that's
like
okay.
Kevin over there.
I'm sorry. So you're saying you guys eat it in like a separate bowl? Because when you order it at a restaurant, it comes on the plate, and you eat it with your fork.
No, I eat it with a
spoon.
Dog.
Because you got to get the cheese. We've been through this. The cheese.
Oh,
you got to scoop the cheese.
Silly East Coast nonsense. Guys.
Central time zone. Gosh dang it.
Guys, you eat mac and cheese with a fork, and I will not accept any arguments without that.
And you know I know that? Because I eat mac and cheese every freaking
you
Friday.
Eat
and when I'm
done,
with I grab
spoon
a spoon
too?
And I
like,
eat it.
What the hell?
No, you do eat potatoes with a fork, but you
exactly.
Might get away with a spoon for that. Mashed potatoes.
Well, I mean, potatoes, the
though.
Number one most universal food is eaten with a fork.
Well, it depends on how you prepare.
Depends
I mean, mashed
potato.
Potatoes.
Depends,
yeah,
mashed potatoes you eat with a spoon.
And mashed
potatoes.
Potatoes are the best type of potato.
Oh, incorrect. Yeah. French fries.
Mashed potatoes are
French fries.
Actually better than French fries.
Tater tots.
French
tater
fries.
Tots. Tater tots.
Oh, God. How would I know? How did I know you'd be a tater tots guy, Will? I mean,
tater tots are good, but
are,
yeah,
but
you got to go mashed.
They're not French fries.
Mashed fries. Tater tots, and then baked. But even baked are good. Potatoes are just good.
All right, well, I'm going to end this before it gets any more slanderous. By slanderous, I mean Kevin.
And
so...
I'm honestly very generally curious, like, who's going to win the popularity vote? That's what I'm generally curious
about.
Yeah,
that's going to be the thing, because, you know, it's easy to say...
Oh,
oh
Spoon is going to win the popularity vote.
Wow.
Obviously, Spoon is going to win the popularity vote.
Okay.
And because Marina picks Spoon, and Marina always picks Spoon, Marina always picks one, and Marina always loses and wins the popularity.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's just how it rolls.
And it's just wrong, first of all. Let's just establish the fact that Marina is trash and Pearl is great.
Okay.
Need we remind you, Tyler, of Ice Cream versus Cake, where Ice Cream won the popular vote, and Ice Cream won the team voting, and Ice Cream won the singles voting, and Marina won!
That was
and
like
you
that's
picked ice
history.
Cream.
That's pre-release stuff. That's the preseason.
That wasn't pre-release stuff.
Pearl was just getting warm back then.
Oh
like...
my gosh. Okay, you know, Will, I was trying to be kind to Tyler here because he was on our side, but I'm gonna throw both Kevin and Tyler back into Egypt because they're clearly in denial. Seriously,
I've never heard you say that before. You're real creative.
You're dang right. That's why I'm the host. All right, with that. We are ending this very war-trodden version of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I do think Kremlin Kevin, even though he's wrong and was very mean to us, I do thank him for coming on this show. And while I don't know if we'll be able to do it next week with him, I don't know his schedule. I'm serious. This isn't the Splatfest thing. I do invite you to be on the podcast another time, maybe in another Sell It and Splat one. We'd love to have you back on.
Thank
you. Because clearly are very passionate about the ones you stick to. So I look forward to seeing what your potential next picks are going to be. So, yeah. Now, Tyler, poll question.
Yes. the what do you think the Smash Ultimate Spirits mode is? 76% of you said new single player mode, 20% said unique multiplayer mode, and 4% like fun and say it's a throwback to old school Smash games.
All right, so I'm not sure what to go here. Should we go basic fork spoon here? I mean, we're going to be doing that. Oh, wait.
No. We're asking if people eat their macaroni and cheese.
Yes, macaroni, cheese, fork,
okay,
and spoon.
Okay,
so yeah. Fork, spoon, or what the heck is wrong with you people? Why is this a poll question? There we go. Fork, spoon, or why is this a poll question? There we go. We will let the true internet decide. And make sure you tag in like Splatfest and Splatoon 2 and everything because it's somewhat relevant.
when your own listeners prove you wrong, will you finally accept the truth here?
Depends.
You know, I just think you need to try to eat macaroni and cheese with a spoon and yeah. You'll realize how much better
convert.
It is.
Convert. Good. So poll question is, what do you eat macaroni and cheese with, a fork or a spoon? And I will happily proclaim the glorious spoon next week when we win not only the Splatfest, but this poll. Suck it, Kevin. yeah. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Who are you going to side with during the Splatfest? Do let us know. And of course, what do you think about Nintendo dominating the MPD? What do you think about Miyamoto and his MMORPG dislikes? Are you excited for the indie games that were revealed recently? Are you excited for the ones that are going to be revealed next week? And yeah, we look forward to hearing from you. So for Tellius Tyler, Kremlin Kevin, Wario Will, I am Triforce Town. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. You've made it to the end of the level. You eat mac and cheese with a spoon. Raise the flag!